Well, we're continuing with our study today in the book of James. We looked at last week, you know, going from trials to triumph. And obviously in James chapter 1, we looked at here that James was writing to the churches that were abroad, to the Jewish Christians. Today we are Gentiles for the most part. We're here today. And yet this was written here, and it was for the profit of the churches in the area, and it's just as profitable as it is for us here today. Let me just review here also that, you know, we can profit from trials. And then we've seen here in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." It has the idea of an accounting term. Somebody account on it. Count it all joy. You can mark it down. You can, it's like money in the bank. Count it all joy. With the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is love, and God covers us with his love. And we looked at that as well last week. And then, of course, when you fall into various trials, it has the idea of being caught off. You're caught unaware. Why did this happen? You know, I had a situation yesterday, caught me unaware. I don't know why it happened, but I rejoiced in my heart because I know, Lord, you know everything. Even when a single sparrow drops from a tree and dies, you know about that sparrow, for I know he watches me. And then, of course, there was, once these various trials happened to us, that we are all more than aware of. Then it says knowing. It has the idea that the testing of your faith. Now, the idea here is don't give up. Of course, it's going to be a testy day today. Did we have a testy week this past week? I'm sure we did. Okay. And more than one way. But you knew at the end of the day the Lord was with you. So you took comfort with that to your pillow. So, in knowing this, that the testing of our faith produces patience. And then, of course, the idea of patience is endurance. We're enduring. And this, remember, these few verses tie right into what I'm talking about here today. Lacking wisdom? Well, it is, you can't have one without the other. So if you're online, you missed last week, you should listen to last week's message as well. But it says that patience have its perfect work. It has the idea of being complete, lacking nothing. Isn't it nice when you're content and you know God's been good to you and you're like, and you can fold your hands and be at peace with yourself because you know you did the best you could. And only God knows that. Most of the time, people have no idea what we're going through, right? But God does, and that's good enough for us. So it says here, have with patience, has its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. And of course, that's where we get our word holograph here. And complete has the idea of being 3D, height, depth, and width. So God knows about everything about us, and that it will be complete. So going on, lacking nothing. And then James says this, which is interesting. He says here that in verse 5, starting off, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, the idea here, number one, we have to ask God. You know, we need to ask God, don't we, when we make decisions? Many times it's always a good idea because, number one, he's in control. Number two, he's going to protect us on our journey. I know there's some people are going to be traveling. Some of you have already traveled. And I pray. I do. And I'm my prayers. So, Lord, protect them, guide them, and take care of them and bless them. Okay, there's four things. Okay, so it has the idea of ask God that you may, if any of you lacks wisdom, The idea, if sometimes we may feel destitute, lost, we feel like we're out of it. It's interesting here, what I read the other day, I want to share with you, here in the Wisconsin School District, and actually a school district not here in Oconomowoc, but not too far from here, a friend of mine emailed me this. He says, with the youth risk behavior study in 2023, it says, we learned that over 47% of students struggle with anxiety. Well, of course, I think I would be too. Well, when we were in high school, didn't we struggle with that? Those were tough times. You know, we thought differently back in that day. But, you know, we had all kinds of, there was sometimes life was complicated and confusing. But God wants us to be complete in Him today. But it goes on to say here that that year was 60% of these students were females, 40% were males. You know, I think you can make it one half a dozen to the other. And then it says 50% of senior students, 22% overall, were sexually active within the first 3 months in their senior year. So right away, what I'm trying to say is when people ask, they don't ask God. They don't go that direction. So they try to go with the flesh, and they realize they're in trouble. Because no woman wants to get pregnant when you're in your senior year. It just doesn't go well. It can change life, unless that person in society, which Kimberly and I dealt with, was women that want to live off the government, seeing how many babies they could get off of welfare, which they think differently. They don't think like a Christian ought to think. 55% of senior students, 38% overall. I'll bore you with one more statistic here. Some people like them, some people don't. Abuse alcohol. So that's in their senior year. And, you know, where is the mind of Christ? Where are the churches reaching out? Well, what I've learned over the years, some churches just aren't doing what they're supposed to do. So James is saying here, look, you're lacking it. You feel kind of lost today a little, you know, as I would call my kids my puppy, you know, our puppy, you know, a cutesy kind of name. I said, you feel kind of lost? I said, come on, let me help you out. Somebody who's lost, adults that are lost, they need the Lord to guide them and direct them. So we need to encourage one another. So we need to ask the Lord, and He will also give it to us liberally. That means out of a singleness of heart. That means He's going to give it to you individually, made up just for you, that wisdom, only for you. And, you know, there's some things that you don't share with other people. Not even your wife or your husband or your loved ones, because that's very personal between you and the Lord. And you got to have that. I have to have a alone time. I have to have that time. I need a break with the Lord. Whether it can be in your closet, I don't think most of us go into a closet and pray. But alone in the car or just alone in the garage, you know, just make sure you don't leave the door open so everybody can hear it. So it means unconditionally of a single of heart, and God says gives us all liberally and without reproach. It has the idea of like shame on you because you're lacking wisdom. God is not going to punish you because you don't know any better. I don't think I would think too much of the Lord if that was the case. Sometimes God, listen to me, sometimes God gives us it when we need it. Sometimes we don't need it right away because I think God, when He speaks to us, if we're honest with Him, we're not ready for it yet. You know, and in a way, we are, you know, His children. We're learning. So it's a learning experience. Instead, He will give it to us generously and abundantly for if we lack it. For it says here, for let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he... Okay, so let me not jump ahead here. So the second part here is that God wants us to ask in faith. So we need to be asking Him, a God who is faithful, who is loyal, steadfast, and enduring. You know, so if we, you know, we have to ask in faith. It's important. If we don't, then we have problems on our hand. There's this list of scripture verses here. Says here, when it's impossible, you know, all things are possible. I'm too tired. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Nobody really loves me, but Jesus says, I love you. I can't go on. My grace is sufficient for you. I can't figure things out. I will direct your steps. I can't do it. You can do all things. I'm not able. I am able. It's not worth it. It will be worth it. I can't forgive myself. Jesus says, I'll forgive you. I can't manage. I will supply all your need. I'm afraid. I have not given you a spirit of fear. I'm always worried and frustrated. Cast all your care on me. I haven't enough faith. I've given everyone a measure of faith. That means God won't give you more than you can handle. I'm not smart enough. I'll give you what? Wisdom. Okay? And sometimes, yes, we feel so all alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So one, we need to pray for our school districts, for our children. They need Christ. Number two, we need to pray for our churches so that the body of believers will count on his promises. They're there. All we have to do is just go digging. I remember there's a diamond mine in the state of Arkansas. We went to that years ago, Kimberly and I forget where it's down the southern part, where you can dig for diamonds. And we said, really? Let's go. So we went down there and we dug for about a half a day. And we actually read in what was in that little building there before you go out. And it's true. You could find those diamonds. God's word has treasure and give us wisdom. Okay? It is priceless. You cannot put a price on God's word because it's not for sale. Satan tried that a long time ago with tempting Christ in the wilderness, you know, and Christ rebuked him with scripture because Christ was not for sale, you know. And so if we lack wisdom, we should ask the Lord. We need to ask in faith. And this is important because if we go through the trials, if we could stop and say, okay, I'm done, I'm finished, God cannot do the work in us that he started with from the beginning, which is to have us complete in Christ. Okay, and some of us have like, okay, Lord answered prayer about this week. Well, then I got prayers about the next couple months. And then I got a prayer about the next year. You know what I mean? So you have goals you want to complete, but God's saying, please, and this is more of a command, please listen to what I'm saying. When you ask, has the idea of an imperative. You know, ask God. So says here that we need to ask in faith, not doubting. Now, here comes the problem when we all doubt God, okay? And it has the idea of, well, Lord, I'm going to be on the fence today. And sometimes we're motivated by fear. And sometimes fear can be a good thing. Don't touch the stove. It's hot. You're going to burn your finger, okay? Or it can be, you know, from our enemy, which loves to have us on the fence, and we can't make up our mind. We're like my little Cocker Spaniel this morning was shuddering, shaking. You know, our example is Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't do that. Oh, no, he didn't. To me, even every day when I read about Jesus, I'm like, whoa, what a man. What a God. I'm like, you've got my attention. So when we ask for wisdom, we are only human. We're only flesh, and we will fail God. And let me tell you, brethren, I fail as much as you all do, you know, and everybody else on this world. So just remember, God's always there to say, hey, look, I'll help you. I'll help you get back up again. So it says here in this verse, it says, but let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, when we're tossed back and forth, we lack commitment. You got to hear me on this. Because when we're not committed to something, we're going to fall apart. We're just going to be here, there, and everywhere. And until we get the pieces together and get right and confess our sins before God, then God can seriously take us at our word. But then we have the wavering is, it's like another example is we're lacking the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we start out number one, that the idea is that from these fruits, it's God's love, which is joy. Think about it. Okay. I'm lacking wisdom here. Am I walking with God? Have I lacked joy in my life? Number two, have I lacked the peace that I need to have in my life? What's going on? Why am I upset about this? What's going on? Long suffering, patience. It has the idea of a person who has a giant load on his back, a pilgrim. Remember reading Pilgrim's Progress? I know you all did. That giant load. And it's so hard some days. You know, I know how some of you, I've heard that some of you suffer here. And some of you come to church looking so good. And I'm so wonderful. But I'm like, Lord, please help them because I know they're hurting. Please help. Help my prayers to be deep, very deep with you. And so there's the patience and then there's kindness. Am I lacking kindness? Why don't people like me? Okay, that could be a reason. I don't know. Goodness. You're doing, you know, good things, you know, honorable things, the mind of Christ. Faithfulness. Have you been doing it? Have you been getting up even when you feel like your right legs are about ready to fall off? I'm not talking literally, but you know what I mean. And self-control. Faithfulness, gentleness. And somebody said, well, gentleness, that's kind of being a wussy. No, meekness in another translation means strength under control. I have met some of the strongest godly men and women in my life when they have that meek spirit. And I'm like, there is nothing that can touch it. And I'm like, wow, do you realize I can see Christ right through? And you, such a spirit, that quiet, gentle, demeaning. And it doesn't have the idea of just being real quiet, never say anything. No, it has the idea of being meek, strength under control. You are a powerhouse, women. You know that, but you got it under control. And men should be that way too. Okay? And then, of course, such as against there is no law. So what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes we have the external forces trying to control us and we're letting them control us and we don't want them to control us. So we need to grab hold of the Spirit of God saying, Lord, I lack wisdom. Are some of these fruits there in my life or aren't they? And I would have to say, some days we never have those days, you know, but we know by the end of the day or during the day, and I hope the beginning of the day, we get control of it. Get control of it. We're not out of bounds. We're not causing chaos. That's the time to go to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, help me, because either I'm on that fence paralyzed by fear, and I don't know which side to go with, or the beginning of wisdom is fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, excuse me, and you're waiting on the Lord. Somebody says, why are you on the fence? Because I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm not being lazy, silly, or whatever, or simple-minded, but I'm waiting to see what God's going to do. And then I can jump off, okay? So, all right. So we need to ask without doubting. And it says here in verse 7, it says, for let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded person. That idea, let not, is a double negative. And you're like, okay, that means do not let that man begin to think that he will receive anything from the Lord. It has the idea of absolutely nothing at all. You're not going to receive answer to your prayer. Nothing. Because you're doubting. And you can't have doubt and faith together. It doesn't work. You just have to go through it and trust the Lord. And you say, well, it's easier being said than done. I know. But you have to trust the Lord. That last song we sang, trusting the Lord no matter anyway. You know, any way it goes, you just have to trust him. And then, of course, the idea, if you're not going to trust him, in verse 8, you end up being a double-minded man. That means a two-souled or two different personalities. You do one thing 1 minute, and you do complete something different. And what do we call that? I wouldn't call it a split personality. I would say you're unstable. And that's where we never want to be. Okay? We're just like floundering. We're not going anywhere. We're going in circles. So God's saying, look, if you want to be blessed, if you want wisdom in your life, if you want God to bless you, then you need to go ahead and to ask him and believe and that he will do it. And I'm sure many of us here today have seen that happen in our lives. But we have to ask ourselves during our trials, which Miles will get used to them, right? Because they're going to happen until the day he calls us home. But any of us lacking wisdom? So, okay, I say, all right, preacher, I got it. Number one, trials are going to happen. Number two, I need to ask God for wisdom. How am I going to deal with this? And number three, don't doubt him. I got that. So we ask for wisdom, lack wisdom. I put here number one, we listen, watch, and look for what's in our hearts. Back over in Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 10 through 13, it says, when wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, talking about lies and deceit, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, who walk in the ways of darkness. So we want to listen and watch and pray what enters our heart. And we see that God can preserve us here from evil. So, and this is a story here about, I'm going to read it here to you. This story is told about four high school boys who couldn't resist the temptation to skip morning class. Each had been smitten with a bad case of spring fever. Sounds familiar, you know, school's just about out. After lunch, they showed up at school and reported to the teacher that their car had a flat tire. Much to their belief, the teacher smiled and said, well, you missed the quiz this morning, so take your seats, okay, boys? And I could see them all sitting there in the back room and, you know, separate desks. Don't sit too close to one another. You know, over here, over here, over here, over here. Okay. So she goes, get out a pencil and a piece of paper. Still smiling. She waited as they settled down. They were thinking, oh, she's such in a good mood. She must really like us. Okay. Settle down to get ready for her questions. Then she said, the first question, which tire was flat? So my point is, if you get around a group of people and they're doing wrong things, you don't want that. You want wisdom. Number one, stay away from people that are going to make you falter and have problems. Remember what Jesus did? He was around bad people all the time, but he never succumbed to their thoughts or ways. I admire some of you here today because what I've gotten to know from you. That you don't do those things. You don't like those things. God has given you the grace and love to understand it. It's my wife and I were talking about that coming here. Some people you can take the wrong way, but yet you always look at it. What would Christ do? Look at them in the best part. Don't ever, quickly turn the page, okay, written this person off, they're mean and nasty and everything else. But understand, they may have had a bad day. So wisdom says to us that we need to listen and watch for to preserve us. Number two, here's one that we know about trusting the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Well, you know, we need to trust the Lord as we're walking down life's path from ourselves. So one, it's from the outside. Two, it's from the inside. One day, a little girl noticed that her mother had several strands of gray hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette hair. So the little girl was with mom and, you know, having mommy and daughter day. She looked at her mother inquisitively and asked, why are some of your hairs gray, Mom? You know, we remember as a kid, we still did. We sit and we're like, well, why is that happening? You know, all the questions go through it. And we're thinking, okay, Mom, why is this? Her mother replied, well, every time that you do something wrong, this makes me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turn gray. And the little girl thought, oh, that I wasn't expecting that. That hurt. And sometimes people give us responses that hurt. We're like, it was an innocent question, and you hurt me. It was like, I'm going to, you know, tell something that's on my heart. Now, just bear with me here. Little girl thought about it, about this revelation, and she's pretty smart for a while. And then she said, Mama, how come all of Grandma's hairs are gray? So, saying, look, I wasn't expecting this, Mom, but, you know, it's an honest question, isn't it? I'm sure she had to be very careful. But we have to be very careful how we respond to people, okay? And we have to be careful about keeping ourselves preserved by the responses. You know, if the old saying goes, if you can dish it out, you can take it. Well, you know, the mother had to learn about herself. You know, you're going to make that kind of remark to your little girl. You better watch out, because out of the mouth of babes, what? Comes a lot of wisdom. And you're just like, I'm not going to say another word around this little girl. She's just too smart for me today. Okay? And I'm sure we've all experienced that. Oh, isn't she so cute, or he's so cute? No. And Jesus always loved people where He understood the weaknesses that we have with our responses and always loved them anyway. And Jesus was the epitome of what? Wisdom. Then we see here, thirdly, in Proverbs 9:10. So if you see, and listen and watch for wisdom. Number two, trust the Lord for wisdom. Number three, to fear the Lord when it comes to wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One understanding. So for us to begin with the fear of the Lord, it will preserve us. It will teach us. There is an old proverb which was said many years ago. It's not from the Bible, but it has a lot of truth to it. Okay? It says, number one, he that knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. In other words, nobody wants to be around somebody who doesn't want to learn. You know, you've met people like that at work. You try to tell them, or people you know in your family, let me help you. Oh, no, I know everything. They're being foolish. They're like, okay, I won't ask that person again. You know, or you can be just like, Lord, help that person understand. Open their eyes. It's just right there. So, number one, there's the fool. But always remember, by the grace of God, we can be fools too, and we need to have an open heart and go back to them. Remember, Jesus always gave people second and third chances. And then number two is that he that knows not knows that he knows not. Okay. He is simple. Teach them. In other words, somebody knows that they know not. They could go to school. They can learn, right? The education's right there. Everything's right there for them. The disciples had Jesus. But yet, you know, he was simple. As we used to say when we were kids, that person's a simpleton. You know, he's not using the brains God gave him. So teach him. Teach him. And we need teachers today more than anything else. I'm not just talking about Sunday school teachers or whatever. But I'm talking about we need to teach our families. Never give up on them. And keep on working with them, you know. Teach them until the Lord takes you home. Because you're the only one. You may be the only teacher that they will ever have. And number three, he that knows and knows not that he knows, he is asleep. Wake him up. You know, sometimes we need just to wake up because we didn't know. Oh, I didn't know. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. If any of you, lacks, God will give it to you. So sometimes we need to wake up, and we can miss so much when we're tired. Remember Jesus knew that when, you know, his disciples were falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't say to them, oh, wake up. What's wrong with you? He let them sleep. He says, can't you even spend so much time with me in prayer? They had put in a huge day. I mean, I don't think I'd be any better than them, except there was Peter and John. They came over eventually and prayed with our Lord, you know. But, you know, sometimes we just need to wake up. And then fourthly, he that knows and knows that he knows, okay, again, he that knows and knows that he knows, he is a wise man. Follow him. How many people do we want to be around with that know what they're doing? Absolutely. How many of us are hungry today for wisdom? Oh, I need to know that. Well, how does that work? We had a problem out there with our tractor. Okay? We had one of the guys go out there and he goes, oh, I know what the problem is here. I'm like, what? You know, flashlight. Oh, there it is. The guy is gifted with fixing. I forget the term you call somebody that, but, you know. He's a tinker. He's a tinker. I'm not talking about tinker toys, but I'm talking about a tinker. This guy's like an engineer. He knows what he's doing. He goes in there. He's already got a picture of it in his mind. Okay, let's do it. You know, so we want to be around people that are wise. And what is wisdom anyway? It's God's knowledge, but then it's the other part is how to use it through experience. So you put those two together, and we're always working that way together all the time. So getting back to my outline here. So we looked at listen and watch for wisdom. Number two, trust the Lord for wisdom. Number three, the fear the Lord and wisdom, which will teach us as we looked at four different people. And then we see here the fourth point under lacking wisdom is to love our own soul. To love our own souls. I'm not talking about the body because we take care of it every day. Got to do something to it or else we're in trouble, right? God wants us to maintain. He's talking about our soul. What's in here? The deep things. Let me turn to Proverbs 19:8. And it says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find it. So let me say it again. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find it. So if you keep it within your heart, it's just like it was back in the day with the priests at Jesus' time. They had the little boxes, the scripture that they would wear around their head that they would show that they had memorized. They also had another box on their wrist that they could read and they memorized scripture. So people need to understand to preserve. God wants us to find good during our trials and our triumph that we have in life. God wants us to do that. You know, You know, what is the key to our trials and triumph? It's having the knowledge and perspective that adversity can accomplish much good. So number one, adversity, it's going to help. Okay? You just got to look at it that way. And the grace of God is beyond that, because some of you suffer every day. Letting the patient enduring of adversity accomplish its work. So let whatever it's going to do, just get it done. Let it, you know, bless your heart. I'm saying this very gently, very softly, if I can. All the while using wisdom God gives us in answer to prayer to help put it all together. How am I going to put all this together? You know, how hard has it been this week for me? What pieces of the puzzle I still need to put in there? Because God, you have to do it. What's amazing is when you see God working in your life and you're putting all the pieces together and like, okay, now I know why. Like I said, it may take days, weeks, months, or years, but when in the end it's all done, you'll see a completed puzzle. Whereas, as we can see here, that when this is done, even trials can be a source of joy for the Christian. So, you know, looking back at it, we can count it all joy. Either in the beginning, because we're going to trust the Lord, yes, I will take that. During, yes, I can do that too. In the end, yes, without doubting, without being tossed all over the place. Okay? Then, as I'm closing here, how many of you all like lemons by themselves? You ever cut a lemon in half and just put it to your tongue? It's kind of bitter, isn't it? It's like, ugh, you got the sour look on your face. Well, look at it this way. You like lemonade? You know, think about all the lemons that you got in your life right now. You know? Then you take those lemons and you squeeze them and you put them in what? Water, or however you do it, right? And you mix it all together and you put a little sugar in it, sweet and low. And you're like, you know what? God can make some lemonade out of my life. You know? God can do this. This message, I have still working on it. I started working on the book of James years ago when I first started preaching. And these are all the notes that I put together over the years. And I wanted to give you the best that I have. But what I'm saying here is James is saying, look, believe me, you go ahead and you ask God, ask in faith, ask without doubting. And, you know, if you like lemonade, great. Have yourself a glass of lemonade. Take the life's problems and put it all together. And give thanks to the Lord. I taste it and see that the Lord is good. And I hope that we can do that through His grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We know that, and I won't even go there, that, you know, life can be like lemonade all the time. Because it's not. And sometimes we have to take those lemons and we have to do the best we can with it. But we know that You've also given us wisdom, that You will give it to us more abundantly. And You will even supersede that, all that we ask or think. Because You're the God of wisdom. And also You're the God who allows trials in our life. And, you know, it's like You're not going to allow anything to happen unless there's a reason. And so we need to, Lord, keep ourselves from being caught off guard. But when we are, Lord, we can realize when we're praying, even if we're not praying, that we know that You're in control. Lord, in Your sovereignty, we can't question Your sovereignty because You're over all. But we know this one thing, Jesus, that You died for our sins, that You died on that cross, and that this world hated You. But Your love was opened to everyone in this world. And Lord, thank You, God, that You never turned down the cross. You, Lord, gave up your life when you wanted to. Nobody took your life. And Lord, you were buried and you rose on the third day and it was prophesied. And we thank you and give you glory for your word. We thank you for the resurrection. Lord, if all these things have happened, and there's no doubt for believers here today that the resurrection did happen, then how much more can we ask for wisdom? Because we need it every day. We have decisions, we have plans, we have thoughts, we have love to just pour out with to one another. It's so good to be in your house, so good to be in your word. But we thank you for these things. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're online, never forget the invitation is always open. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, don't walk away from the precious promises of God and his love. Open yourself up to it. Search your heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name through his blood. Amen.